Hey, what's going on, guys? God shared, laid something on my heart in regards to our perspective and how we navigate relationships and navigate the difficulties in our lives and the trials and the tribulations, the frustrations, and all those things. God placed something on my heart because I feel as though a lot of people, they get frustrated when they're single, or they get frustrated because they were dumped, or frustrated when things just aren't going according to plan. But a lot of times we forget that the Bible tells us that his ways are higher than our ways. So there's a lot of times that you may think God owes you an explanation, when in reality he's God. He doesn't owe us one. But we feel as though God is not really looking out for us, when truth be told, it was him protecting us from ourselves. So guys, if you're new to this channel, Tavares here. Welcome back. For those who are constantly tuning in and waiting on more episodes, sorry, it's not as routine as it used to be, but our goal is to share what God has laid on our hearts. But subscribe to the channel, like, do all those things. Stay along if you feel as though this is ministering to you in any way. But God, reminded me in the Bible, it says Psalm 107 verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." His mercy endures forever. And I think a lot of times we forget that in every season, the Bible tells us that it's the will of God for us to give thanks. It's the will of God for us, to be able to praise God in every season. And unfortunately, the way Christianity is today, we praise God because of what he's done for us. We're praising God for the promotion. So when the bills aren't paid, now we're frustrated with God and we don't want to pray. We don't want to talk to him. Or we're praising God because we got married, but when we're not, when you're single or whatever, you're frustrated with God because you feel as though everybody else is getting what you feel as though he should have got you. But I believe that it's God's desire for us to learn how to praise him and trust him even when we don't understand what he's doing. I want us to understand that when everything goes wrong in your life, finances, friends leave you, family is having problems, school doesn't seem to go right, the job doesn't seem to go right, you just feel crushed on every side, you have to understand that you're not forsaken. The Bible shows us that there are so many people who had to go through so many issues in their lives, and then it was for their good, but in that moment, they don't see that. In that moment, we never see what God was trying to do, what God was trying to say, but I want to encourage you that when you don't understand him, he's still God, he's still sovereign, and he still desires what is best for you. So I want to talk to us about a couple of things, just in regards to relationships, about how God's mercy operates. Because it's just a lot of people who, we allow the devil to play with our emotions, and we take that woe is me and nothing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. He wants us to play that game. But in reality, it was God's mercy that brought you into those situations that you don't even like. Number one, God's mercy will cause you to wait much longer than you expected. We think, well, if God loves me, he's going to bring me right to my promised land. If God loves me, he's going to bring me straight to that promotion. I'm the only one on this job that's saved. I'm the only one at this job that has the Holy Spirit. I'm the only one in my family that actually loves God. So I'm going to be the one that's going to be blessed. Nope. That's not how things work. God's mercy will cause you to wait much longer than you expected. I think about how, as a dad with children, when they say they're hungry, that means they expect dinner to be ready immediately. So if you don't have food ready immediately, we want all the snacks. We want pudding. We want cookies. We want chips. We want ice cream. We want all these things because dinner isn't ready. When in reality, all type of junk food isn't even good for your health. All type of candy isn't good for your teeth. It's going to lead to cavities, your teeth falling out, braces, whatever. It's so many things that if we go about it our own way and we do our own thing, it's going to destroy us and we don't even know it. If we rush into a season that God didn't tell us to rush into, if we walk through a door that God didn't open, it leads to us being harmed and we don't even know it. Exodus 13, verse 17 through 18, in the Christian Standard Bible, it says, "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them along the road to the land of the Philistines, even though it was nearby. For God said, the people will change their minds and return to Egypt if they face war. So he led the people around toward the Red Sea along the road of the wilderness, and the Israelites left the hand of Egypt, left the land of Egypt in battle formation. So we see, it shows us that God saw what they didn't see. God saw that if you go forward into this direction, it's much closer. It's a much easier route in your brain. This is how we look when we give God our timeline. God, I already know what I want. I know when I got to be married by this age. I know I want to have a baby by this age. I expect to have my degree by this age. I need the house by this age. I expect to be here in ministry at this age. We give God all of our expectations, all of our ideas, and we tell God, this is how it's supposed to look. But God said, I already know if I let you go this way, you're going to change your mind and return when there's a time for war. So you cried for me to deliver you. You cried, God, bring me out of bondage. God, these people are torturing us. And God is saying, yes, I'm going to deliver you, but I'm not going to deliver you the direction that you think you should be delivered. I'm not going to help you the way that you think you should be helped, because I already know if I help you in this way, you're going to go back to the thing that you just asked me for deliverance from. How many of us, we ask for deliverance from a relationship and go back to it the moment we're in a frustrated season? Oh, I know this person isn't for me. You know, God, I'm going to let them go. But next week, now when loneliness is talking to you, now you run back to it. So God understands, if I allow you guys to operate based off emotions, you and I will mess it up every time. So we see they were hyped for their freedom. Home sweet home. We're getting ready to go here. And God is like, okay, I'm going to lead you opposite way. And he led them to the way of the Red Sea, where they begin to murmur and complain and think Moses is a foolish leader. We told you, just leave us where we were. Like, why did you deliver us here for us to die at the Red Sea? So even when God made a way for them, they still complained over the blessing that he had for them. Because God knows how we are when we are going off of our limited understanding. And if you don't believe that God is sovereign, you're going to always allow your emotions to become your God. And anything you trust outside of God is going to lead to your destruction. Anything we put our faith in outside of Jesus Christ is able to fail us. So we have to be willing to understand that God will take us certain directions because he knows what we have to avoid. That person who's like, yeah, Tavares, all your advice is cool if I'm 21, but now I'm 40 and I don't know. God knew he had to make you wait longer than other people because you were only getting married for sex anyways. You never even had the right mindset or motives. I just heard a preacher preach at church on Sunday night talking about motives that matter. You know, and it's important that we have the right motives when it comes to ministry. We have the right motives when it comes to relationships. You have the right motives when it comes to anything that God desires to do in your life, because if our motives are wrong, how can God really entrust us with his blessings if we're trying to do everything for our own glory? So the Bible tells us in Psalm 27:14, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. That's in the NLT version. But we have to understand that God, it's his mercy that didn't allow you to take certain routes. You wanted to go to that school and you're mad that they rejected you. Yeah, when you went to that school, you didn't even check if there wasn't a college nearby. You would have been the first one to backslide. You know what I mean? So it's like, understand that God knew where to place the rejection. He knew where to place the stumbling blocks, because all of these things will force us to begin to rely on him and to trust in his plan. And another thing we have to understand about God's mercy will protect us from people with the wrong motives. So you so mad, ah, man, I can't believe everybody at the church is talking bad about me. I can't believe everybody on the job doesn't like me. I can't believe even my family can't stand me sometimes. I can't believe that the more I try to show love to people is the more they reject me. Come on, guys. We have to be able to read the scripture and understand it as well. As plain as day, Jesus tells us, if you are living for me, people are going to hate you. It says the servant is no greater than his master, which means if people hated Jesus Christ, friend, if they love you, I would be highly concerned. All of these popular pastors that everyone loves, I'm very concerned about that. Not because people in the house of God doesn't deserve a form of notoriety or influence or any of those type of words, but it's the fact that if everyone loves what you're saying, you're probably not telling them what God wants to hear. If everybody is so impressed by your social media aesthetic and you're the cool influencer, you know what I mean? Everybody's a Christian influencer now. who's not spending time with God, but they're telling you about their quiet time that only lasts 3 minutes, but they make a reel that goes viral. It's like, guys, we have to be serious about our walk with God. And we have to understand mercy is what God will be using to protect you from people that you did not know were planning on your demise. God's mercy is protecting you from those people. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. So you understand that the people that you should be with are not going to lead you outside of God's will. The people that you should be around are not going to cause you to turn away from righteousness or turn away from the house of God or turn away from godly accountability. You're so mad that they cut you off and you don't even realize God is the one who cut them off out of your life. You think, oh, these people, man, I don't know why everybody hates me. God told them your season is up. You're no longer needed in this person's season, because if God wants to elevate you, you can't bring everyone. If God wants to do something new in your life, there are some people that unfortunately will not be on the journey with you, not because you're better than them, but God is calling you to a deeper level of consecration. And I used to get, I'm not trying to be petty, but that was a struggle for me. Whereas when I feel as though everybody in the church is not taking things seriously, you know, it's like frustrating me, you know, because I'm like, do people really believe God, or do they just read the Bible and set a sinner's prayer so they think they're saved, or because they go to church so often they think they're saved, you know? But I had to come to a realization that, you know, God has called me to go deeper, or God has called me to do more, or God has called me to a higher level, however you guys want to interpret it. But I know what God is calling me to do, which means I can't do certain things that everybody else is doing. Can't go certain places that everyone else is going. I have to understand that God has separated me to do his plan. So we like to think we have to be around everybody. Christians have to stop aiming to be cool. You don't have to be around everybody. You have to understand that it's his mercy that is going to cause him to separate you. When Abraham was told to sacrifice his son, the Bible tells us that before they went up to the mountain for him to sacrifice, he told the people, stay here. Me and the lad are going to go up to go worship. So there were people who traveled. They were alongside him for the journey, but it got to a point of sacrifice that everybody can't get to it with you. So you think, well, God, I really thought I was going to marry this person. God, I really thought me and this person had a future. And God is saying the level of sacrifice that I'm calling you to, you can't bring everyone. And we have to be willing to understand that even though I'm not seeing what I want, I'm not seeing what I think I should have, that does not mean God doesn't love us. We have to understand that God's love is still strong. God's love is still there for you, even when you don't get it. And it's just like, we know 9 times out of 10, we don't know what God be doing. You know what I mean? But we have to understand that God will allow you to be betrayed just to place you in the right position. God will allow them to mistreat you. God will allow them to abuse you. God will allow it, people to talk down on you, to force you to depend on him. Because if you were so buddy-buddy with everybody and you're a queen of networking and you're Mr. Everybody knows you and everybody loves you, the moment that God elevates you, they're able to take the credit because they pushed you. You were the networker. So you're able to say, oh, it's the friends that I have, rather than give the glory back to God, because it's only him that places you in the positions that you should be in. So we see in Genesis 50, this is after Joseph has been betrayed, and starting in verse 16 in the New Living Translation, it says, so they sent this message to Joseph. Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of God, your father, beg you to forgive our sin. When Joseph received this message, he broke down and wept, and his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. So we think, when we read these scriptures, we think it was the devil. You know, man, his brothers are the most evil guys on the planet. I can't believe, man, my brother, my family would never do that. My family is not that terrible. I can't believe they did that to this guy. And we say all this stuff about, you know, the brothers of Joseph, when in reality, the Bible makes it clear that God allowed this to happen. The brothers never caught God off guard. And God is like, oh, snap, how do I redeem this situation? The brothers never caught God off guard where he's like, oh, man, well, okay, so they betrayed him. Okay, now I have to put him in this prison. Okay, how do I get? No, God was not caught off guard by the enemy doing anything in your life. God's mercy allowed you to feel betrayed. God's mercy allowed you to be dumped. God's mercy allowed you to break up with that person. God's mercy is the reason why they rejected you, is the reason why you thought you and this person had a future and they were like, nah, that's not going no more. It's God's mercy when we don't understand it now, but we're in good company because Joseph had no idea, I'm sure. I just got a vision of people bowing to me. I just got a vision that I'm leading. I just got a vision that everything is great. I know what God has called me to do, and then immediately gets sold into slavery. I know many of us would feel frustrated because we knew we heard from God. So what is happening? But we have to understand that hearing from God does not negate the process. God is going to bless you, but he allows you to go through a process. And sometimes that process allows people to betray you. But for those of you who possibly been betrayed before, I want to let you know therapy might be the answer. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. So I want you to know that a lot of us, you know, when we're find the first thing to do in our day, we're always constantly trying to, oh, do I have time to read? Do I have time to work out? Whatever it is that matters most, a lot of times we don't prioritize our mental and emotional health. So therapy is something that works and something that you can use in order to help you get to where you need to be. So if you are a person who feels as though you're struggling, you don't know what to do, there are plenty of people that can give testimony of the testimony that prayer and therapy has helped them. You know, obviously the Holy Spirit can help you through anything. That's all we need. But sometimes you need that outlet with that person, a professional, you know, for you to talk to. So if you're thinking about therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit our schedule. So just fill out a questionnaire. They'll get you with a licensed therapist. And if you don't connect with that person, they can always swap you to someone else. Learn to make time for what makes your soul, your mind, and your spirit happy. With BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/godly today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/godly. But we see that there's plenty of times where we don't understand what God is doing. Excuse me. But that does not mean he's not still working on our behalf. God still has a plan for you, even when you don't understand it. And I want you to understand another part of God's mercy that a lot of people, you know, they don't talk about enough in church, but I've seen a lot of my friends go through this, that I want you to understand that if you ever found yourself here, or if you need to be the person who's in this predicament, understand that God's mercy will end an engagement before it ends in divorce. You know, a lot of people, because we posted them so much on social media, all the pictures are there. All of our family met them. We already sent out the invitations. So now we feel the pressure. We have to marry this person. It's embarrassing. What do I do now? Like, I've invested so much. Like, why would I get divorced now? Why would I break up now? Like, no, you know, I'm trying to do this. But understand, it is so important for you to listen to God's voice now than to live 10 years from now wishing you would have been obedient in the beginning when God was speaking to you. Jesus tells us in John 13:7, Jesus answered him, What I'm doing, you don't realize now, but afterward you will understand. That this verse is not in regards to relationships. You know, that's obviously where God is talking about communion and its importance. And he was telling them why, even though he's the greatest in the room, why he's washing feet. But this teaches me something about the character of God, that he will do something in the moment that you don't understand. God, I don't know why you're doing this. God, I don't understand the logic in this. God, I don't understand how this makes any sense. But yet, God is still saying to you, you don't understand right now. You'll understand later on. Now, I know people who have broken off an engagement, found out this person was living a lifestyle that they weren't even aware of initially. A leader in my church told me about a situation she found herself in where the person had a STD. Basically, I'm, you know, trying to find a pretty way to say it, but there's no pretty way to say that. But He was not going to disclose that. Turns out that that person later died from that STD, that he was willing to pass on to her and not say anything. So we have to understand that Isaiah 55, verse 8 in the New Living Translation, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine." So while I'm so frustrated, which I'm not saying you don't have a right to be, I'm not saying, you know, that you can't, that God is afraid of your emotions. God embraces those. God is willing to answer your questions. But understand that it's okay to question your situation, but don't get to the point that you're questioning God or his love for you. God loves you so much that he doesn't want you to ruin yourself. You know, my children, I love them. You know, I let my daughter, while we're sitting in the car, you know, before I turn off the car, I was like, "You want to sit in front?" Let her sit in front. She's like this, you know, a little two-year-old playing with the steering wheel. Imagine if I was foolish enough to be on the road, not sitting in my driveway, you know what I mean? But allowing her to drive the car, you know, "Let me back out the car, babe. Go ahead and drive. You know, go ahead, Gigi. Let Gigi go ahead and drive. Little girl, I'm going to prison first off. And then her, my child and somebody else on the road is probably going to die." You know, so we have to understand, I can't fathom God's love for us. I understand my love for her, that I wouldn't put my child on the road. I wouldn't drive with my, allow my child to drive, you know, but it's the fact that we understand how dangerous that could be. So we don't question our parents when we were 4 years old or 10 years old and we didn't have a car. If you're 20 and you're asking your parents to help you out, that's different, but your parents understand what's good for you. So if we have a Heavenly Father that knows more, loves us more, and is able to protect us more, why do we think God's mercy is going to allow us to, he's just going to give us whatever we want just because we asked? The Bible tells us in James chapter 4 that you don't have something because you don't ask it from God. And even when you ask from God, you don't get it because you're praying amiss just so you can consume your own lust. If all of my desires and all of my prayer requests only benefit me and my family, understand that God has no obligation to answer every single prayer request. You know, God's word tells us that he answers according to his will. So when we see that God stopped the relationship, when we see God didn't give us what we planned, understand that it was for our good. God is only able to exceed our expectations. God is not able to give us worse than what we desired. God is only able to exceed our expectations because we don't understand the great things he has in store for us. Now, I'm not saying you want to be a billionaire, God has to make you a trillionaire. I don't mean like that. That's foolish thinking, you know, and it's just a matter of being carnal and thinking just temporal on this earth. But God wants what's best for you. So we have to understand that if we want to do God's will, we want to be in God's will, we have to be willing to say, "God, not my will, but yours be done." That is what Jesus prayed. "Not my will, but yours be done on earth as it is in heaven." I don't want to be in a relationship that God isn't in. I don't want to think I'm blessed with a relationship because I'm married, but the marriage doesn't include God. Understand that whenever you don't understand what God is doing, he is still worthy of your praise. He is still faithful to be trusted, and you should still continue to worship and trust him, even if you never see what you're praying for. Now, that's hard. But that's what the Bible calls us to do when it says to die to yourself, meaning I put my desires aside for the will of God. And that's what we have to seek the most. So hopefully this wasn't too morbid for you guys, because I know you guys always want something cute and all nice and whatnot. But Godly Dating 101, where it teaches us about relationships from a biblical perspective. Get this book. The link will be in the description box, or get it for a friend, or buy 10 copies for your church, whatever works for you. But I love you guys. Have another episode up in a few days. Peace.